Is there a time when it is right for Christians to disobey the law? And did the early church ever defy the law of the land?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Labor Day, and we are live on Labor Day on the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the broadcast. Maybe you're getting to tune in today for the first time because you just happen to be listening to radio on Labor Day, and it's contrary to your normal work schedule. Maybe you're a regular listener, but you're unable to call in because of work or other responsibilities. You can call in today. So here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Two things we're going to do today. One, as I try to do on a holiday, we open the phones for anything you want to ask me about because many of you would love to call at other times of the week and weigh in or ask me questions and you're unable to. So phone lines are open. You've got questions. We've got answers. Anything you want to ask me, many Fridays we're unable to get to many callers that want to ask questions, Bible, theology, practical ministry, spiritual life questions, moral, cultural issues. Many times we can't get to our Jewish questions. So if you've got a question you'd like to ask me, 866-34-TRUTH. We're also going to continue to discuss, is there a righteous time for Christians to say no to the law? Is it right sometimes, not out of rebellion, but out of obedience, out of honor for authority, to say we must obey God rather than man? We'll be talking about that as well today. Let's just see. I've got some really interesting audio clips, some things we're going to talk about, some clips from Governor John Kasich, Governor Mike Huckabee. There's a rally tomorrow for Kim Davis. We'll talk about all of that on the broadcast. And I'm going to go back in church history. The very next segment, I'm going to go back in church history and ask the question, were there times in church history where the early Christians said no to the law so that they could say yes to God? Let me repeat, the issue is not rebellion. As believers, we are not called to rebel, we are called to obey. As believers, we are not called to despise authority, but to honor authority. Is there ever a time, though, in honoring authority where we have to say no to man and yes to God? Here, I'll give you a little example from the home. Simple little example. Let's say you put your 14-year-old daughter in charge of taking care of her 7-year-old twin brothers. You go out of the house, mom and dad go out of the house, and you tell her, these are the rules for the house, and the boys must do this and this and this. Okay. Well, at a certain point, something comes up unexpected. The 14-year-old just knows the rules of the house, all right? But the 7-year-old's able to call mom, one of the twins, and say, Mommy, do I have to do this or is this okay? And mommy says, oh, okay, this is okay. Tell your sister I said these are the new rules. The kid's not being rebellious when they listen to what mommy says and don't listen to what the sister had said because there's a higher authority. The same way if you had, say, a private in the army, and the private's given instructions, say, by a sergeant, and then the general comes in and said, I need you to do thus and such for me. I'm countermanding the sergeant's orders. It's not rebellion. It's obedience to say, yes, sir. How do we sort this out without opening a Pandora's box where everything is done according to what's right in our own eyes? How do we honor authority and do the right thing without compromising our convictions? I want to take you back to the early church. And then want to take your calls. It could be on the Kim Davis situation. It could that's the county clerk that said no to issuing same-sex marriage licenses. It could be on the larger question of Christians and the law. It could be anything you want to ask me. We'll take your calls and questions today. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I think, you know, the court has spoken, the court has ruled, as everyone knows. I believe that in traditional marriage, but the court has ruled.
That was the voice of Governor John Kasich explaining why he believes that County Clerk Kim Davis should be issuing, quote, marriage certificates for same-sex couples and others, because the court has ruled this is now the law of the land. Now that is a question many are disputing. Does the Supreme Court have the right to make law? Was this what the Founding Fathers intended? What about the counterbalances? And not only so, what about the fact that many would argue this violates the law of Kentucky and it violates constitutional law? Let's put that question aside entirely, and let's ask the larger question about Christians and the law, to obey or disobey. Listen to what N.T. Wright wrote. He's one of the world's leading New Testament scholars. He said, the day the church can no longer say we must obey God rather than human beings, Acts 5:29, it ceases to be the church. This may well mean suffering or persecution. This has been a reality since the very beginning, and for many Christians, it's still the case today. Some of the most profound passages in the New Testament are those in which the church's own sufferings are related directly to those of Jesus, its Messiah and Lord. Kingdom and cross went together in his own work. They will go together in the kingdom work of his followers. All right, right now, we're talking about a Christian in jail for her religious convictions, something that many would say is the first time this has happened to a Christian in American history, a case like this. But let's think about this for a moment. We are talking about someone being put in jail. That's bad enough. But in the ancient world, we're talking about Christians literally being fed to the lions, ripped apart by starving wild beasts. Christians made into a spectator sport. They're killing made into a spectator sport in the Colosseum, and gladiators slaughtering them. And this is what Christians face. We're talking about a whole different world and Christians facing atrocities around the world today. Let's understand that there were times where for Christians to follow Jesus through much of our history, they had to break the law. When Peter and the apostles continued to preach in Acts 4 and 5, they were breaking the law. The Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, had the authority to tell them, do this or don't do this. You say they overstepped their bounds. True, correct. And what did the believers say? Whether it's right to obey God rather than people, you decide. We're going to obey God. We're going to obey God. It's clear enough what we have to do in a case like this. The early Christians were told to sacrifice to Caesar. The early Christians were told to confess Caesar as Lord. When they wouldn't, they were tortured in the most horrific ways. They were killed in the most horrific ways. They had to say no to the law. Now, most of us know about those cases. And we know about Daniel in the sixth chapter of Daniel, when the edict came from the king, no one can pray to any other god. And he prayed openly to the God of Israel and was thrown in the lion's den. We know Daniel 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know the account with them. And when they refused to bow down to an idol, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. We know the account in Exodus 1 with Shiphrah and Puah, the Israelite midwives that refused the edict of the Pharaoh to kill the baby boys, the baby Israelite boys as they were born. But I want to take you back to something in church history we often forget about. In the ancient Greek and Roman world, infanticide was widely practiced. I was just reading stats that said that the tiniest percentage of the population, maybe 1 or 2% of the population, was known to have raised a second daughter at a certain point in ancient Greco-Roman history. Why? Because you only needed one daughter. Sons were more important. There was a disproportionate number of men compared to women in the ancient Greco-Roman world, which historians say was due to infanticide. What did you do? Well, sometimes you just drown the kid. Kid's born, you just hold the kid underwater until it drowns. Others, they would just leave on the mountains or out in the wilderness to be consumed by animals or just die of exposure. And it was considered perfectly proper to do it. Not only did the early Christians go against that, not only did the early Christians say infanticide is sin, as far back as the Didache, which is one of the earliest church documents we have, lays it out plainly, it is sin. We don't do this. We do not practice infanticide. And not only did the church appeal to the pagan culture, and not only did the church ultimately win over the pagan culture so that transformation came through the gospel and the spread of Christianity, but the early church would sometimes rescue exposed babies. That was against the law. That was against the society. That was against the custom. You could put yourself at risk for doing it, but they would often do that. They would give funds to help the poor, to encourage the poor to have the child and not expose it to infanticide. But they would also rescue some of these babies and then have them raised in Christian homes, raised in the faith. Of course, there are times when we say we have to obey God rather than man. Of course, our conscience tells us to. In times in American history, we've had to do that. Times in American history, we've had to fight against unjust laws. And times in American history, we've said, man has ruled this, and there may be consequences. We may go to jail. We may lose our jobs. We may lose more than that. But we have to do what's right. Of course. Now, we can debate the ins and outs of the Kim Davis situation, and we've been doing that. We'll continue to do that. But I just want to say plainly, yes, when you see the image of Christians being thrown to the lions, that's because they preached the gospel when they were told not to preach the gospel. That's because they wouldn't swear allegiance to Caesar when they were required to swear allegiance to Caesar. In fact, the early Christians got branded atheists because they would not acknowledge Caesar as Lord. And when Polycarp, one of the most famous martyrs of the early church, a disciple of the Apostle John, when Polycarp was being murdered and the crowd was chanting away with the atheists because here's a Christian leader being martyred, Polycarp, an old man, served the Lord faithfully for decades and decades and decades and decades and was a champion in the early church with the Spirit of God upon him. Polycarp, before his martyrdom, waved dismissively at the crowd and said, away with the atheists. You're the atheist denying the one true God. Friends, our counterculture calling runs deep, not in disobedience and rebellion, but in obedience to the highest authority. It's a biblical tradition. It is a rich Christian tradition. 866-34-TRUTH. Wow. All right. Phone lines are jammed. Let me get right to the phone, starting in South Charlotte. Xavier, you're on the line of fire. I tell you what, Betsy, let's see if we can help Xavier with the connection there. We go to the Bronx. Lukita, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for educating us. Listen, I want to ask a question. On that same note with the Kim Davis situation,
yeah.
If I were to go to a doctor to have an abortion and the doctor refuses, does that mean we can have him arrested too?
Well, he's not every doctor is required to perform an abortion. I think we need to find a different analogy there. But there are many, and I appreciate the question, Lukita. Let's think for a minute. There are cases now where mayors in different cities are saying, I don't care what the immigration laws say, we're making this a sanctuary city. They're not in jail. And let's remember, Kim Davis is not just in jail. The judge refused to grant her bail. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. Let's think of another situation. Gavin Newsom, mayor of San Francisco, is probably going to run for governor of California. 2004, after President Bush made plain his opposition to redefining marriage in a major speech with the laws of California saying marriage is a union of one man and one woman, with that being the national law as well, Gavin Newsom decides to defy the law, and he's now going to start issuing, quote, marriage certificates for same-sex couples. He becomes a hero for doing it. Does he go to jail? No. Is he fined? No. So, in fact, Lukita, there are many, many situations like this, whether we agree with the choices made or disagree, where people say, I have to act according to my conscience. And Would anyone doubt that if you had a gay clerk and a gay clerk said, I am not issuing marriage certificates to anybody until same-sex couples would marry, would the nation be saying that's the right thing to do? You're a champion. Would the media be celebrating them? I believe the media would. So massive double standard we have in the country, no question whatsoever. Thank you for calling in. 866-34-TRUTH. You can weigh in on this or other questions you have. Got some interesting audio clips to interact with as well. My latest article, why aren't we celebrating self-amputation? We'll get to that later.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I think it's important that we understand when it comes to the Kim Davis situation that there are a couple of different sides to the story. 866-34-TRUTH. There are a couple of different sides to this. The one side is, as a Christian saying, I can't do this in conscience. Another side is saying the law of Kentucky says that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. The people of Kentucky overwhelmingly voted for that. There is no constitutional basis for what the Supreme Court justices did. We therefore recognize what they did as lawless. So to be faithful to the law, we will say no to the Supreme Court. Now, they are two sides of the same coin, but they are yet different, if you're following me. 866-34-TRUTH. Dennis, grab clip number five. This is Governor Mike Huckabee a couple days back on Fox, and he's talking about Kim Davis' situation and a rally being held for her tomorrow in Kentucky at 3 in the afternoon.
I think it may wake people up, because who's next? Are pastors next? Florist, caterers, who else goes to jail? The implications of this are extraordinarily far-reaching, and that's why we're going to be in Kentucky on Tuesday, 3 o'clock, to rally for Kim Davis and to rally for religious liberty, and most importantly, to rally for there to be consistency in the law.
All right. Now, Mike Huckabee gets challenged on this, and by the way, I've been reading reports that Fox News has been really bad in its reporting of this, that it has really been fairly hostile to Kim Davis, that some of the other networks have actually given, quote, our side better time or more fair time, which is interesting. Not deeply surprising, but interesting. Clip number six, let's listen as Mike Huckabee is challenged on this position a little bit, and then he continues. Clip number six.
People see a difference in a public position and are asking why she works
in a public
capacity.
Why did Gavin Newsom not then get arrested?
Rather than, the issues that have come up in the bakery or a private enterprise.
But why didn't Gavin Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco, get arrested when it was against the law to have same-sex marriage? Why did Jerry Brown not get arrested? Hey, for that matter, I see Josh Earnest.
Or for not carrying out sanctuary city laws.
There you go.
That are also on the books. It's a very interesting question. Religious liberties, I think, is going to be a very serious issue that's dealt with a lot.
It is a serious issue.
Yeah, and it's an issue that is not going anywhere. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go back to the phones in one moment. Two very important announcements. To all of my dear friends listening right now on WMCA or listening through any other means in the greater New York area, join me for a one-night-only rally. September 17th, that's a week from this Thursday, Bethlehem Assembly of God in Valley Stream. If you are a pastor, if you are a full-time ministry leader, we'll be having a day session. This is only for full-time pastors and leaders. We're having a day session to equip on biblical issues and legal issues. Night rally for everyone. You will leave with your heart stirred. I'll be doing a book signing for Outlasting the Gay Revolution as well. So please join me. Also, if you're in the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area, Sunday night, September 20th from 6 to 8, Sunday night, September 20th from 6 to 8, I'll be doing a talk on Can You Be Gay and Christian? Fielding Questions. That's going to be in Kannapolis at Refuge Church. So put these dates down. I'd love to see as many of you as possible. These are going to be very, very powerful, life-changing nights. And I just looked at our website. It looks like a typo, but it's not. I've got no idea how we're doing this. My book, Hyper Grace, which just came out in Indonesian. It's out in Finnish. It's out in Italian. It's out in Dutch. It's out in a special edition to be distributed in India and Southeast Asia. Tremendous demand for the book around the world. I don't know how we're doing this. Less than what the book normally costs, and we're paying the postage and then giving you a free CD with it on God's true grace. Go to the website to check it out. It's not a I just looked. I thought, it's a mistake. It's not a mistake. So go to the website, askdrbrown.org, to take advantage of this. 866-34-TRUTH. We go back to the phones. Noella in the Bronx, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
I called before you gave the examples of the babies in ancient times and what Christians did, and before Mike Huckabee's, what you just played. I called before all that, and all of that basically said what I wanted to say. You asked when was the time that Christians defied, what society wanted, and I thought of in Acts, when Paul and others said, well, we'd rather preach in Jesus' name. We'll rather obey God than man. That came to my mind when you mentioned that. But I've been praying for Ms. Davis. I'm a Christian. And, you mentioned that Fox News has been negative. You know, all the media, and I was in shock, supported Caitlyn Jenner when he or she, whatever, came out and made a big deal that that was the greatest thing, which shocked me that they didn't see anything wrong with that. So yeah. They're pro-homosexual. Many in the media are involved in that lifestyle. So it doesn't shock me that they, are so hostile towards Ms. Davis. If they would support a man who says he's a woman, and they made such a major deal about that.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Noella. The fact of the matter is, there is extraordinary media bias. Look, surveys were done some years ago. I cite this in my Outlasting the Gay Revolution book. Surveys were done about the stance of the media on things like abortion, for example. And let's say America was pretty divided at that time, but major anchors and TV hosts, news hosts and things across the country, they were like 95% pro-abortion. Whatever the stats were just unreal. So, yeah. For sure, there is an extraordinary bias, and then it comes out. And Fox, which is known for O'Reilly and Hannity and being more conservative and all that, still can often come down on the wrong side of some of these key social issues. We expect it. That doesn't mean we're going to stop getting the truth out. All the more should we get the truth out. Hey, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. We go to Lynn, Massachusetts. Miguel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael Brown, how are you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Hey, God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
I wanted to mention something and I also had a question. I just find it very telling, looking through Facebook, all of a sudden everybody cares about the law.
Yeah,
they're saying, this is not about someone's beliefs, but it's rather about them breaking the law. However, once you mentioned that the judge may have been infringing upon her rights and the fact that she hasn't gotten any accommodation, no one's mentioning that side because it's not part of their, what they're looking for, I guess.
Yeah, it really is ironic that suddenly everybody cares about the law because for a fact, Miguel, I know for a fact as well that if this had been the other side of the story, that if a gay activist or a straight ally had said, this is an unjust law, I'm not going to obey it, people would be applauding him. That's right, you do the right thing. Absolutely. We will be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I just want to play another clip from John Kasich and tell you what I really find problematic with it, all right? Clip number two, Governor John Kasich, and then we'll get back to your phone calls. We're live on Labor Day, 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about the specific situation of Kim Davis, but the larger question of when do we say no to the laws of man because we have to say yes to the laws of God. But the phone lines are also open if you have any other questions that you want to ask me, and today may be an opportunity that you don't normally have, seeing that it is Labor Day and your schedule may be different than normally in the week. So phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. Clip number two, Governor John Kasich. This was yesterday. He is on This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
We have a lot of young people who sit on the fence on an issue like this, and they also think about their, you know, their belief in God. And, you know, for me, I think we need to talk a lot about the do's, about humility, about helping our neighbor, about the need to live a life bigger than ourselves. And when we see these kind of battles going on, I get a little bit afraid that it turns people off to the idea of faith in God, what it means to be a Christian. For me, it's giving me a solid foundation to deal with the strong winds in life, to be a better person, a better guy. Now, I respect the fact that this lady doesn't agree, but she's also a government employee. She's not running a church. I wouldn't force this on a church, but in terms of her responsibility, I think she has to comply. I don't like the fact that she's sitting in a jail. That's just absurd as well, but I think she should follow the law.
All right, so the question is, what if man's law violates God's law or violates the Constitution? Governor Kasich, would you have said the exact same thing after the Supreme Court ruled on Dred Scott? Okay, well, he's still a slave. He's not a full man, and so that's the law. We respect the law. Would you have simply said that? Are there ever times when it's justifiable to say that this is an unjust law, that the Supreme Court overstepped its bounds? What if the Supreme Court said all clergy are now required to perform same-sex, quote, marriages? What if the Supreme Court said that? Would we then say, hey, the court has ruled? Well, that's crazy. Well, the recent Supreme Court ruling is crazy. There's no basis for it in law. The dissenting opinions of the four dissenting justices tear the thing to shreds. There's no semblance of law or right use of the Constitution in Judge Kennedy's majority opinion. So at what point do you say, sorry, we can't obey that? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Glenn in Copaic on Long Island. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Michael Brown. Glenn, you reached him. It was a pleasure to see you, by the way, at a dear close comrade and friend in Christ, Yeshua, Ron Corbett, and his ministry on Long Island.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, it was a great pleasure to meet you then. The question is, could I first recommend a book by Chuck Baldwin, who wrote one on Romans 13, an excellent expose, a commentary just on that chapter in the book
great.
Of Romans, to get a clear understanding to all the listeners. If I don't remember exactly his website, of course, you can go on Google and you'll get his website. I don't remember exactly what it is. And he really gives an excellent expose on really balancing the truth and being a light in the world when, even in the midst when persecution is increasing. I believe also this is a warning sign to the leaders in America.
I tell you what, stay right there, Glenn. We'll finish on the other side of the break. I'm not familiar with that particular book, but I will look into it immediately.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, 866-34-TRUTH. We are live on Labor Day. Let's go back to Glenn and Kopech. Yes, so you mentioned the Chuck Baldwin book on Romans 13, and you had one other point you wanted to make about obeying God.
Oh, yeah, that's correct. That's a good, very excellent book to get. I personally believe that definitely without a shadow of a doubt, we've had some leaders already warning us that in America, persecution would begin, and I believe subtly and slowly it will increase in America. I believe this is one of those signs. And, we should really stand for the truth. And I know this is a very, very interesting case dealing with this lady in Kentucky. I really will pray for her, and I really sympathize with her. And I believe that she made, according to her judgment, to not sign. This is my personal belief and my strong 30 years plus in walking with Jesus and Yeshua. Of course, this is the Hebrew name.
Hey, Glenn, tell you what. I got my phone lines totally jammed. You were able to get that book and point that I got to get to some other callers, all right? But thank you, sir, for weighing in. And look, Kim Davis, you think of it, this is not the kind of person that wanted the spotlight. This is not the kind of person that we would put in the spotlight. She's married three times before coming to faith in Jesus. Kid out of wedlock, right? And now married a fourth time as a believer. And yet in that sense, kind of a picture of the church, kind of a picture of the church in that we've received mercy from God. And now we are living out convictions based on holiness, based on truth. And again, her understanding of law, her understanding of Kentucky law, her understanding of what was being required of her was that she was being asked to violate law in the name of law. So again, I asked the question, and I'll post this. I'll put this question up. What if the Supreme Court came up with some outrageous ruling and said that all clergy must perform same-sex, quote, marriages? Would we say, well, that's the law of the land? So if you believe the Supreme Court overstepped its bounds, isn't that the bigger issue here that we are ultimately dealing with? 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Alexandria, Virginia. Will, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey there, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I want to make a comment around the Kim Brown situation. First of all, everything that you talked about and everything that you mentioned, I am in support of it. I think that there is a double standard. There are definitely times where the laws of man contradict or put us in positions to disobey God. And in those situations, we as Christians, absolutely, just like Daniel did, with the decree that was put upon him, we need to stand our ground as Christians and obey God. However, in this particular situation with Kim Davis, I have a different opinion, and it's this opinion. First of all, she should not be jailed. So that's totally absurd, and I'm a supporter of her in that particular reason. But what we oftentimes make the mistake of is having convictions in our interpretations of the truth as opposed to having convictions in the truth. In her situation, she is not being asked to disobey God. She's not being asked to perform a marriage. She's not being asked to sanction a marriage. She, as an employee, was being told she needs to issue the license.
Hang on.
Okay.
By the way, it's perfectly good to have this dialogue. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's a very, very fair discussion to have as Christians. Totally fair. And you're there's no question where you're coming from. I'm with you overall. The specific, her thing is, it has her name on this certificate and it's under her authority. And that's what she's objected to, that if anybody in her office issues it, it now has her name on it as the elected official of that county by the people under her authority. That license was granted, and she said she can't have her name on it. She can't be complicit to that.
I totally hear that position, and I understand her position. However, again, I go back to what I said. She is a representative of the state. So she is not the authority. She is a representative of the ultimate authority. And in this particular scenario, and again, I'm not a legal expert, so I'm not even addressing the legal aspects of it. What I'm saying is, in principle, she is not disobeying God as an employee of the state or being subject to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, we live in a country where the Supreme Court is the authority of the land.
No, but they're not. They're one of three. They're one of three. See, Will, that's the issue. They're one of three, and they do not have the power to make law. I've got quote after quote from Jefferson, from Lincoln, from others saying absolutely no. They don't have the power to make law, and if they do, we have a real problem here. Look, Mike Huckabee was asked about this with George Stephanopoulos yesterday, and he said, in terms of is this going to backfire and so on, he said he would have hated Abraham Lincoln because Lincoln ignored the 1847 Dred Scott decision that said black people weren't fully human. The court ruled 5-4 saying that, and Lincoln, it's a wrong decision, so they basically ignored that. So that's the real issue. Does the court have the power to make law for the nation? And that's really the dispute. What if the court violates the Constitution? So, Will, let me say this. I totally understand where you're coming from. I totally understand it, and it's a completely valid conversation to have. Completely valid. In other words, you and I could sit down, have fellowship together, differ on this issue and go back to having fellowship together because I fully understand where you're coming from. But the bigger question is, if the government tells you to violate your conscience based on your biblical conviction, do you do it? A, and B, what if the government violates the Constitution? Are we beholden then to follow the Constitution or to follow the ruling, an unjust ruling of a government? Hey, the conversation will continue. My phone lines are jammed. I want to get to more people. But thank you for weighing in and raising that other point of view. I appreciate it. I'm sure you speak for others as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Bethesda, Maryland. Wendy, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I'm going to be real quick because I have a lot of things that I feel about this situation, one of which is that the LGBT group of people that pursued this woman focused on one thing, rights. What I find is that Christians are not pursuing their rights. And until and unless we pursue rights, support rights, these people are going to run away to the end of the race and win the prize as they have with marriage, as they have embarrassing her and embarrassing the entire Christian community, because we don't support, we are divided. They have one focus. And we have denominations of every sort and every belief. We don't have focus. And that's why these people are able to get away with what they're doing. They're going to encroach on our rights until we focus on our rights. We can't force someone to go to God. We can't force someone to believe. If someone wants to go to hell, we can't do a thing about it, but we have to be focused on going to heaven and focusing on what we believe is, to me, the point, because this is going to go on.
You know, what's really interesting, Wendy, and thanks for weighing in. What's interesting is that if you look at homosexual men and women, they are as diverse as any other part of the population. You have conservatives, you have liberals, you may have less conservatives. We have conservatives, liberals, religious, non-religious, etc. And then among them, different denominations and groups among the religious. Among the, quote, straight allies of gay activists, that's even more diverse. You've got Jews, Christians, atheists, every walk of life. And yet, as you say, there is a uniting around these larger issues where Christians often do not unite around the larger issues. And that, I believe, sometimes is our general lethargy. Sometimes it is a lack of awareness. Sometimes it is thinking so much about the world to come that we don't bring those values sufficiently into this world. But certainly, if we stood together for what was right, not to bash and attack and crush others, but just stood together for what was right, of course, America would be turned around in a very short period of time, and God's blessing would come in a much more real way. Thank you for weighing in. We'll be right back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, just tweeting this out now. What if the Supreme Court unconstitutionally ruled that all clergy now must perform same-sex, quote, weddings, would we say? It's the law of the land. I don't think, well, some would here and there, some would. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Hollis, Maine. Susan, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
Really deals with some relevant issues. And I just wanted to ask the question about, I've been thinking about this Kim Davis situation, and maybe I missed something, maybe I didn't hear it, but I just wondered, why haven't they fired her? If she didn't comply with the law, why haven't they fired her?
Because she's an elected official voted in by the people. So
they
don't have the power to just, quote, fire her. There'd have to be another process to get her unseated. And it's highly unlikely in the conservative county where she is. I think her mother served in that position before her for like 40 years or something like that. So, yeah,
I knew she didn't want to step down. I heard that. But if that's the case, then why wouldn't the fact that she was an elected official and represents the people, then I would think the people would have the say on whether or not she has the right to do what she did.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you come back to. In other words, in her view, when she was sworn in, the law said marriage is a union of a man and a woman. The people of Kentucky overwhelmingly voted for that. In her view, the Supreme Court does not have the right to redefine marriage and overturn that law. Therefore, she's submitting to the law by saying no to the Supreme Court and even no to the justice that's holding her in contempt of court. And the idea, again, that there's no bail. There's no bail. Mike Huckabee mentioned all these notorious serial killers who were given bail, which that's crazy enough that they were. And she's in jail without bail is absolutely absurd. I had also read that this judge previously had ordered kids in a school where there had been a protest about a gay-straight alliance that they were required to go to, quote, re-education about homosexual issues. So it really appears that this judge has an agenda based on these cases anyway. The discussion continues, Susan. Thank you for raising those points. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Brian in Orlando. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
You're on the
Hi.
Air.
Hi. So, thank you. I just want to say I appreciate Kim Davis for what she's doing. It's just, especially now, a lot of candidates are being forced to give their opinion on the issue. And also, it seems like, especially in government, a lot of people are being put on the spot. Where if you don't like it, or if you don't like where the government's headed, or the issues that are coming up, then get out. And if that continues, for each term there wouldn't be a Christian voice within government.
Yeah.
I appreciate what she's doing. I appreciate what's happening because of it. And then one last question. I'm a trucker. I travel 48 states, and man, could you release some audiobook versions of your books? I mean,
yeah, you know, we've got to, and Brian, thank you. First, you know, we've got a lot of audio teaching you can download series of teachings I've done, and then just throw them on your MP3 player.
I do that.
So I've got that. Then, of course, we've got the archive.
That's just released.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's not the only way that I would be the one to do that. In other words, if the publisher hasn't done it, then we actually would have to finance the reading and recording of the audiobook, which is a massive project. So what I've got to do is just ask some of the publishers, hey, there'd probably be sufficient demand. Is there anything stopping us from putting out audio versions? So I'm gonna make a note to myself. In fact, I'm jotting it down now to check with the publishers.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. And there are other drivers like me who would appreciate it as well. I mean,
I would love to go. I'd love to read the book to you or have someone else read it. I started a colleague of mine who actually does audiobooks, part of his job description, got a burden to help me, and we started to look at A Queer Thing Happened to America. But then I realized the amount of hours involved in me reading it, and then there's a certain science in it. You know, how do you introduce quotes, different things? I wasn't familiar with that, and so that kind of stalled. But anyway, thanks for it. That's another incentive. It came up also in conversation with the Blind Brother in terms of how great it would be to have more audio material. So maybe we can get something done in that regard. Thank you, Brian. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Gambela, Ethiopia. Bol, I think you are my first caller ever from Ethiopia. Welcome to the broadcast.
Okay. That's Dr. Brown?
Yes.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'm a person that spent 5 years looking for Messianic Jews, but I couldn't find any right person. And I'm not alone. I'm with a group of people originating from Church of God Seventh Day who dedicate their life to follow the truth and have connection with the Messianic Jewish people.
Okay.
So I will. You need to forgive me because my English is not very fluent, huh?
You're doing great. You're doing great.
Okay,
unfortunately, yeah, I can't speak Amharic, so we'll have to do it in English.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So yesterday I contact Michael Rudolph.
Yes.
I wrote some email to him, and I also need to talk to you because I found your website long time ago. I download most of your videos. We watch them in a Shabbat day. We open the laptops and we watch them. We take some notes and we do it like this. Okay. So one of the reasons why I'm calling here, we were trying to create a congregation here in Gambela, Ethiopia. So we were successful to create. Now our congregation has 60 members.
Wow.
Okay. So we download some papers. Most of your books and Asher and Michael Rudolph, they are coded with some dollars, but we don't have the way to download them.
Okay. All right, tell you what, stay right there, sir. Stay right there. I'm coming to the end of this hour. In a moment, Betsy is going to get online with you. Tell her what you need and give her an email address if you have that, and we will figure out a way to help you, okay? Thank you, dear brother, for your great heart and interest in Ethiopia. Stay right there, all right? Betsy will get your contact info, tell her what you need, and your email, and we'll get back to you. My bottom line today, let us be clear-headed. Let us look to the Word. Let us honor God and put Him first. Is there a time when it is right for Christians to disobey the law? And did the early church ever defy the law of the land?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's a really, really interesting question. How do we stand up for what's right in God's sight and protect our freedoms without alienating and pushing other people away? How do we stand up for what's right without completely snubbing the rule of law when the law does the wrong thing? For example, what if the Supreme Court ruled that all clergy are now required to perform same-sex, quote, marriages? You say they have no constitutional right to do that. Of course they don't. Many would argue, as did the four dissenting justices in the June 26th ruling to redefine marriage in America, that Justice Kennedy and the other judges had no constitutional authority whatsoever to redefine marriage for the nation. If they ruled something even more outrageously and said, well, now all clergy are required to perform same-sex, quote, marriages, would that mean that we say, well, it's the law of the land? We just go along with it. Of course not. That's what's happened with Kim Davis in Kentucky. She said that there is no constitutional right for the Supreme Court to do what it's done, that Kentucky law is clear on the definition of marriage, that the people have voted in terms of the definition of marriage, and that the Supreme Court has unconstitutionally overstepped its bounds. Therefore, she has to do what's right. Now, I know there's debate and discussion. Should she just resign? She's a government employee. That's fair discussion. But what is clear and cannot be denied, and I've said it over and again, is that the attack is not on the issue of law, but the attack is on her faith, because there have been others who've said no to the law, and we hail them as national heroes. Let's go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Larry in Hampton, Virginia, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Brown. I'm actually on the highway heading back home. I was listening to your program. I'm very interested to hear. I must tell you up front, I am a gay man, and I'm having some great difficulty hearing this discussion, okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Is it not true that Jesus Christ never said one word about homosexuality?
No, that's not true. That's highly inaccurate.
What did he say? Where is it?
Three passages. First, understand that according to all Jewish teaching in the first century, homosexual practice was very high on the list of forbidden things. In fact, it was considered to...
I understand the
Right, and he was a Jewish rabbi. But number one, in Matthew 5, beginning verse 17, he said, "Don't think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill." So what does he do with the sexual requirements of Leviticus and the Torah, like adultery and things like that? He takes them to a higher standard. So he doesn't abolish, but he takes the sexual standards of the law to a higher standard. That's number one. Number two, in Matthew, the 15th chapter, he says, it's not what you eat that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your heart that makes you unclean. And then he lists various sins. One of them is porneia in the plural, which in Greek speaks of all sexual acts outside of wedlock. It's in the plural. It's comprehensive. Jesus says these defile us. And then thirdly, in Matthew, the 19th chapter, and you start in verse 4 for that, when he's asked about divorce and marriage, he says that God's intention for marriage from the beginning is one man and one woman united together for life. So he takes the sexual requirements of Leviticus and the Torah to a higher level. That's number one. Number two, he says all sexual acts committed outside of wedlock defile. And number three, he defines what marriage is. But you get to respond, Larry, on the other side of the break. Stay right here.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We're live on Labor Day, 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones with Larry. Thanks for holding through the break. Larry, by the way, do you have any particular religious beliefs of your own?
What I want to say is I hear what you're saying with those three passages. I do think that's a stretch. And in answer to one of your questions about what can Christians do in terms of, you know, not alienating, a lot of people see is a hypocrisy where a lot of Christians will tend to pick and choose certain passages that fit their predetermined, outcome that they're seeking. For example, just what you said about, you know, Christ expanding on Leviticus. Well, what about the prohibition against wearing different fabrics, eating pork, all these things? You know, yeah. You can't just, if you want to assume or say that this is the word of God, then every single word in there is the word of God, or it isn't.
All right, so let me explain that. Yes, right? But you have to read all of it. In other words, Jesus now comes and he fulfills the blood sacrifices by dying on the cross, so we don't need blood sacrifices anymore. There were certain laws that God gave to Israel to keep them separate from the nations, like the dietary laws, like the laws about wearing mixed garments and things, and God never gave them to the Gentile world. That was never required for the Gentile world. So all we're doing is consistently interpreting. But Larry, let me tell you where I agree with you, okay? I agree that there's been a lot of hypocrisy in the church, and I apologize to you as a leader in the church for a very poor witness, for us allowing all kinds of junk in the church. Look, we have all kinds of no-fault divorce in the church. There's no basis for that. And there's no question that Jesus addressed that more than these other issues. No question about it. We have really messed up there. There's an epidemic of pornography in the church. There's scandals with some of our best-known national leaders. That's all tragic and unacceptable, but the way that you cure hypocrisy is not by justifying more sins, but by raising the standard consistently for everything. So I differ with you on the interpretation of Scripture very, very clearly.
I differ with you that it's
any stretch in terms of what Jesus said. And look, let's remember there were plenty of other things he didn't address by name and didn't have to. But I totally agree with you that the church has compromised its authority, and that when we stand for one thing and not another, it shouts out that we're hypocrites, and that's shameful, and we have to fix that.
Okay. Well, I have this chance to ask you. I have to ask you this very important question, and it may not be something you want to hear or even want to answer, but I've done a lot of research into a lot of different topics, okay? Considerable research since 1991. And the biblical writings talk about God coming down from the sky in a metallic craft that made noise and produced smoke. Do you really believe that was God, the supreme being, in a metallic craft?
Where's the metallic craft? You mean Ezekiel, the first chapter?
Do you really believe that was God and not an extraterrestrial?
I don't believe it in your heart of hearts? I haven't the slightest concern about extraterrestrials or spaceships. Honestly, Larry, I'm sure you've researched it seriously.
Yeah.
But no, I don't see Ezekiel 1 as being a metallic craft. A metallic craft is not made of beings that look like oxen and lion and people and things like
beryllium.
That with wings and so on.
Well, they didn't know how to describe it. They used terms that, you know, was common to them, but it looked like beryllium, which is metal.
All right, so tell you what, are you open to the possibility that you are misreading Ezekiel 1?
I have been around the block, you can't imagine.
are you open to that possibility? That's number one. And number two.
Open to it, but let me tell you what I've come up with.
Okay.
And I'm telling you the truth will find its way to whatever you want to call it. It truly will. I think these things from 2,000 years ago, whatever, were misinterpreted. Hugely misinterpreted, and it has caused a lot of problems, of course, you know, with humanity, and people need to open their minds and really, really search truth. I mean, and not let our predetermined whatever drive us. You know?
All right, so Larry, let me ask you this, okay?
Sure.
Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead?
Yes, I do, but not in the way that you do.
Or do you believe that when I feel
Jesus
God
was not the supreme being? He was in my view, he was from the Pleiades, as was his mother. There was a craft above, and the angels, two angels came. And there were witnesses that saw him being taken up.
All right, another question for you. When I feel God leading me to do a particular thing, and then I pray, and then very specific, impossible things happen in response to that prayer, so that any rationally minded person looking at it would say, wow, that looks like divine intervention. Would you say that was also aliens that were giving me thought processes and then answering my prayers?
In many cases, it was. The Pleiadians look just like us, and they're human form. You know, the human form is off to the universe.
The funny thing just in our conversation here is that really the smaller issue is what Jesus said about homosexuality. I think so. Even though, you know, right at the forefront, you identified yourself as a gay man, this seems to be the bigger issue. So I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit would cause you to know the truth about God, and that the same Holy Spirit that made me realize that when I was shooting heroin and living a wild lifestyle as a teenager, as a hippie rock drummer, that there truly was a God, that Jesus truly died for my sins and rose from the dead, and that radically transformed me. The liberty I have been enjoying these last 43 years, sir, is not the result of alien intervention. But Larry, thank you for listening. I hope you get to listen more. Thank you for calling in. And we will agree on this. We will agree on the words of Jesus that the truth will set you free. Thank you, sir. Memorable phone call for more reasons than one. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's see. Hey, Sean, if you can hang on another minute, I want to get to you, but just stay on subject here. We go to Jefferson, Maine. Jason, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Say, I just wanted to offer a couple of solutions for this problem with this clerk that has refused to offer gay so-called marriage certificates.
Yeah.
In the Bible, I forget what book it's in, but you've got the story of the little old lady who keeps coming to this judge and asking this judge for something, and the judge finally says, I'm just going to give it to her, even though I don't care about the situation, so I can get this little old lady to quit bothering me. If these townspeople could get enough people together, and they would need to do this politely, non-threatening, and they should go to the judge's door, knock on the judge's door, introduce themselves, and say, I want you to release this person, thank you, and leave. Have the next person come a few minutes later. Do this until the judge either has a police officer or deputy posted on their property or posts their property with no trespassing signs. They could also, if they can find out what the maximum capacity of this jail is, find triple the number of people that would be willing to be arrested and go to either the sheriff or the police chief, whichever the case may be, and demand her release, or say, you're going to have to arrest all of us, and where are you going to put us?
Yeah, the fact is, if you look at, say, the civil rights movement, what happened was when it wasn't just one person saying, hey, I can't comply, and they were arrested. Now it was 5, now it was 10, now it was 50, now it was 100. They were college students. They were respectable people. That does start to get a message out in a very clear way. The same with Operation Rescue. And abortion protests and things like that. So, obviously, we can't force arrests, and that's not the goal. The goal is not to be troublemakers. But I believe, and I believe you'll hear this at the rally tomorrow in Kentucky, we'll see, that the theme is not just I'm with Kim Davis, but I am Kim Davis. Not just I'm with Kim Davis, but I am Kim Davis. With all of her muddled background, with 3 divorces before she was a follower of Jesus and a child out of wedlock, Yes, yeah, someone lost that Jesus saved and changed. And we may not agree with her on every point of doctrine. That's not the thing. But I encourage everyone with any authority in any areas like this, if you are being asked to violate your conscience, whether you are a clerk, magistrate, mayor, whoever you are, governor, if you're being asked to violate your conscience, say, with all respect, I have to obey God rather than man. Let there be 1,000 Kim Davises or 1,000,000 Kim Davises across the country. You're right, Jason. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is the criminalization of Christianity. Kim Davis, because she followed her convictions, is put in jail and is not given bail. This is an unbelievable moment in American history.
Yes, it is an unbelievable moment in American history, and it is one that we are carefully marking. My book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, ties in with this directly. This is Michael Brown. We are live on Labor Day, and phone lines are open. You can still weigh in on the Kim Davis situation. And a few other things we're going to touch on in a little while. If you've just got a general question, phone lines are open in that regard as well. Everybody listening in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, if you're within a few hours, please take note of this. Sunday night, September 20th, at Refuge Church in Kannapolis, North Carolina. It's a little bit north of Charlotte. We are holding a special one-night meeting. I'm going to teach on Can You Be Gay and Christian? It will be one of the most eye-opening talks, I believe, you've ever heard in your life, full of the compassion of the Lord, full of scriptural truth. And then we'll follow that up with an hour of Q&A. I'll also be a book signing for my new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, Sunday night, September 20th in Kannapolis, 6 to 8 p.m. Mark it down and do your best to get out there. Even if you had to drive a couple hours, I think it would be worth the trip. Let's go near Augusta, Maine. Russ, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir. I know you're tight on time, so I'm just going to get right to it. I think that Satan is the master of confusion. He's got this nation confused terribly. And what we've forgotten and what people reject is that God is the authority over all nations. He puts them in place and he takes them out. And when nations get to this point that we're at now, we're in danger of being destroyed. But you know we forget too, and the people like homosexuals, and then they can make all kinds of arguments from scripture. They can do whatever they want to say about it, but they are rejecting God's standards and his lordship over their lives. He gave it to us in his word that he is the Lord of all. And when we don't live up to the standards as a nation that he wants us to, he will end it all. People come up with objections and arguments and everything with the hope of being able to slip around so they can't be held responsible. And that's not going to work. They've got that white throne judgment. They're going to stand before him at, and they're going to wish they had done different.
Yeah, you know, the big issue to me, Russ, is it's just all humanity. In other words, everybody has their issue with God, whether they deny him, whether they rebel against him. I did, before I knew Jesus as a teenager, you know, for me it was the whole drugs and rebellion scene. For someone else, it's just the greed of business. For someone else, it's self-righteous religion. For someone else, it's a sexual immorality. But there's a fundamental thing with human beings where we don't want God to be our God, where we don't want to bow the knee to him. And that's the issue. Will we acknowledge it? Look, it doesn't mean that America's a theocracy. It doesn't mean that America is like Iran, where the whole nation has to submit to Islamic law and their draconian penalties if you don't. Not at all. But what we're saying is, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to point out that a good example of that is right in the Bible with Israel and Babylon. Okay, when the Jewish people was deported and put in Babylon, and then King Nebuchadnezzar got all proud and puffy because of this great, beauty of this towns and all this stuff. God warned him through Daniel that he's in danger of being judged. Well, even though
it's a great illustration, even though this was a foreign nation, even though it was not the nation of Israel, which was a nation under God, a theocracy, mm-hmm. right? This was a pagan nation. There was still divine law that applied. That's why it says in Proverbs 14:34 that righteousness exalts a nation, any nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. Any people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the ultimate issue. Doesn't matter constitution, democracy, dictatorship. Ultimately, nations still give account to God. Individuals still give account to God, and we need his mercy. Hey, I appreciate the illustration. Thank you for raising the point very much. 866-34-TRUTH. Changing subjects, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Sean, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Doc. How you doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Cool. Hey, just wanted to quickly mention that Anthony, the young man who wrote in to you about the masterpiece process, he's a friend of mine from church, and I actually gave him my book and stuff for him to read. So I just want to let you know about that. And then I also had a question about the fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you had any thoughts as to why perhaps the modern day church doesn't really embrace the full fivefold ministry. We seem to elevate the pastor a lot, but kind of the other ones kind of get left by the wayside.
Yeah, there are a couple of reasons for it, Sean. One is a model that emerged several centuries into church history, emerged more and more and more with focus on a single person as opposed to elders with a leader among them. So there's no question God raises up individuals, not committees. There's no question that you can see clear leadership among the apostles. You can see clear leadership in churches that Paul established. And yet there was a recognition of plurality. That was more of a Jewish understanding, the plurality as well, as opposed to just single leader. So as the church made that the primary pattern, that's what we've been used to. That's one. And then to the extent that we had a theology of cessationism, that the supernatural gifts ceased, that the prophetic ministry and apostolic ministry ceased, that it became very natural to just look at things in more of a one-man way. Now, that being said, what I find to be healthy and positive is that even without recognizing the names, we have recognized the actual ministries. For example, someone like Hudson Taylor would clearly be an apostolic leader, or William Booth, an apostolic leader. Different ones, even though they wouldn't use the title. And then you have, say, Baptist leaders today, like Al Mohler, who is not charismatic and is not in favor of charismatic gifts and things like that. And yet I believe he's a prophetic voice to the nation with prophetic insight from the Lord through the Word and the Spirit. So I think what we have to do sometimes is recognize what God is doing and people who he is using, and then try to see, okay, what does the Bible say about this? I know for me personally, it was very important to understand the different aspects of fivefold ministry, because I didn't fit as a pastor or as an evangelist, and it was important for me to understand other aspects of fivefold ministry. Once I did, then I could really thrive in that. It's definitely hurting the body, though, that we don't recognize it more. We get very monolithic in our approach and put too much pressure on one person. Hopefully, God will continue to change that. Hey, great to hear from you, buddy. Thanks for the call.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Aliens, all aliens. Wasn't God who appeared to Ezekiel? It was a spaceship. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He was caught up by aliens. When you get a thought to pray about something and then the prayer comes to pass, that's not God answering the prayer. That's aliens. All right, that was the thesis of a caller named Larry, self-identified gay man. Now, here's what's fascinating. He initially challenged me on Jesus saying nothing about homosexuality, and I showed how that's not true. Then he challenged me on hypocrisy in the church and Christians picking and choosing, and I differed with his interpretation of Scripture, but yet I said, absolutely, there's been much hypocrisy. There is hypocrisy, and we are to blame for it, and I apologize for it as a Christian leader. But what's fascinating, though, is the conversation went on. That didn't seem to be his biggest issue. Rather, since 1991, he said, that's a long time, he's been seriously studying these issues of aliens and so on, and believes that that's the real explanation for a lot of things in the Bible. And because people wrongly thought these are words from God, God has spoken to us and given us laws, that it's hurt humanity. It tells me, friends, that often we focus on the wrong thing. In other words, Larry and I could have gone back and forth about Jesus and homosexual practice and the Bible and homosexual practice and hypocrisy in the church. And I know those are all issues that were serious to Larry and they're issues that are serious to me. But they weren't the real issues. It seems that there was something else going on. Now, they may be intertwined. Perhaps Larry, recognizing he was same-sex attracted, then had a problem with the Bible and then began to look for other explanations to how did people get the Bible and why did they think they were inspired and what about these so-called visitations and so on and so forth. I understand that. But many times we fail to realize that there are many other things going on, many, many other things going on. And we may look at the surface. Hey, we may sometimes see someone lashing out in anger and they're ferociously angry against God and the Scriptures, and they seem to hate Jesus and it's hurt. The anger is disguising a deep hurt that's on the inside. And sometimes people just feel God let them down. Sometimes people just feel that God betrayed them. Sometimes they want to love him, but they put all their eggs in that basket. And when it failed, they turn to anger. But behind the anger is actually pain. And if we respond to the anger, we're not really helping the person. So let's pray for spiritual discernment. Let's pray for spiritual insight. And for someone like Larry, who seemed to be a very sincere gentleman, listening to the broadcast, I'm glad he did, took the time to call in. Let's pray for such an encounter with God that all of the alien explanations go out the window and that issues of sexuality become very secondary because God becomes his all and all. Hey, look. There's only so much aliens can do, and so-called aliens. The bottom line is this: when God Almighty deals with you, he knows how to deal with you. X-Files may have been fascinating, and those of you that used to watch it, you know that theme music. It's out there. Oh, no. The truth is so far beyond being out there. And the truth is not just found in some abstraction. The truth is found in the person of Jesus, who reveals God to us and who alone can deal with our sins, bring us forgiveness, bring us into harmony with God, give us eternal life, and give us power to lead a new life. All right, it's Labor Day, and I am live on Labor Day going back to the phones. And then I want to talk to you about self-amputation. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest began wearing women's clothing at age 12 and became a transsexual at age 35. But that's not the unusual part of this story. This transsexual also decided at the age of 14 that she didn't want her legs.
Ah, that was Jerry Springer. This is Michael Brown. You're listening to The Line of Fire live on Labor Day, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This was a really, I can't say a sad episode on Jerry Springer compared to others because I'm not a Jerry Springer watcher when he was, is he still on? I don't know. Anyway, was never a Jerry Springer fan for obvious reasons, but this had to be one of the weirder shows, I imagine. It had to be. Here's a man. When you hear his voice, he's clearly a man. Okay? Here's a man. And he is in a wheelchair, in a dress, and he's got legs that are stumps, like from the knee down, cut off. Okay? Dennis, grab clip number 10. I want you to hear what this man has to say. And I'm playing this for a very specific reason, which will become clear in a moment. Number 10.
Sandra, what's going on? This is strange, isn't it?
Yes, it is strange.
Okay. So how old are you now?
I'm 48.
Now you're 48. When you were 35, you decided to become a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine. At what age did you think you didn't want your legs?
At 14.
At 14. When did you actually cut them off?
I cut this one off in 2000.
Why did you cut your leg off?
I didn't want them. My brain just kept saying get rid of them, so I had to get rid of them.
When you became a woman, did your brain say get rid of something else?
Now, this is pathetically sad. And I don't know, this is a few years back. I wrote about it and A Queer Thing Happened to America and watched the YouTube clip. I was just mortified. But here is someone whose brain tells him that he's a woman and whose brain tells him he shouldn't have legs beneath the knees. Now, I want you a little bit more. Clip number 11, and then I'm going to comment on this, and then I'm going to explain why I'm raising this, okay? Number 11.
I had tried to get the left leg infected several times. I figured maybe if I get it gangrene, the doctors would take it off. Every time I get it infected, they just clean it out. You know, I'm like, I'm getting tired of this. I mean, I'm getting it all infected and everything, and they're just going to clean it out. You know, and I'm like, this ain't working. I tie the left leg up under me, and I'd look in the mirror, you know, and I'd see it was gone under my skirt, and it made me feel like a whole person, you know.
And now, of course, you hear a man. That's obviously a man, Sandra, right? A man. Once he cut his legs off, he was happy. Never regretted it. The condition he suffers from is called BIID, Body Identity Integrity Disorder. For years, it was associated with some type of sexual paraphilia, some type of deviancy where you would get sexually aroused or something from being an amputee or being with an amputee. But many scientists and researchers have realized that in many cases, that's not what's going on at all. They've realized that what's actually going on is this person's brain is telling them they shouldn't have a limb there. Tests have been done where responses are verified that the people actually feel like this. So, yeah, there's something wrong in their brain. There's something wrong in the mind map. Now, do we celebrate this? Do we celebrate body identity integrity disorder? And the reason I'm talking about this is my latest article asked this very question. Why don't we celebrate those who amputate themselves? And why did I write about it? Because the New York Post over the weekend had an article about this condition, this unusual condition, whereby people are hacking off healthy limbs. So this was a New York Post on Sunday, the strange condition that has people hacking off healthy limbs. Why aren't we celebrating that? You say, what do you mean, why aren't we celebrating that? Well, we celebrate GID, gender identity disorder, which is now called gender dysphoria. We celebrate that. We celebrate Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner, don't we? We celebrate these new transgender stars. We celebrate people who've had mutilating sex change surgery and hormones for life. We celebrate that. And here, this man, Jerry Springer, says, no problem. No problem whatsoever that you feel that you're a woman, even though you're obviously a man. No problem that with the hormones you've grown breasts. No problem that you're in there wearing a dress and with a wig or with long hair. No problem with any of that. But you're delusional to think there's a problem with your body and you shouldn't have limbs there. Isn't that a little bit hypocritical? Isn't that a little bit contradictory? Listen to what Selwyn Duke asked in 2009. Sure, it strikes us as the most horrid malpractice when a doctor amputates healthy body parts, such as a pair of legs, but then should we call it something else just because those healthy body parts are between the legs. Now, here's what makes this all the more pathetic. And let me finish before you decide where I'm going with this, okay? Let me finish before you decide where I'm going with this. What makes the Jerry Springer show all the more pathetic and telling is that Sandra's ex-wife and daughter came on. They could care less that he cut his legs off. They thought that was a stupid thing to do, but they could care less. What destroyed their lives was that the husband slash father now said he was a woman. They said it drove them to drugs and almost, I mean, they were furious with him. How could you do this to us? How could you do this to us? Now, obviously, the guy is a troubled guy. Obviously, he needs help. You watch this, and if you have a heart beating within you, you got to feel sorry for him. You're not laughing at him like the crowd is. You're feeling sorry for him. But please hear me. Please hear me. If we can recognize that the one thing is a disorder, why can't we recognize that the other thing is a disorder? And why can't we say, even though the people who've successfully cut off their own limbs or lost a limb somehow, or were able to get a surgeon to cut off a healthy limb, if we don't celebrate that, if we say, we know you got relief, we know you don't have regret, we know that you finally feel whole, there's a problem, though, in your mind map. Let's try to get to the root of it. If we can do that with one, that's what we need to do with gender identity disorder. That's what we need to do. And not celebrate it, but keep reaching out in love. Keep meeting people where they are. Keep praying for healing, for deliverance. Keep looking in the medical realm for a solution. Doesn't that make sense? That's what I have been calling for. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, before I go back to the phones, I'll tell you what, let me do this quickly, and then I'm going to go to the phones. GregJackson.com, conservative author and thinker. He said many self-described conservatives are claiming that Kentucky marriage clerk Kim Davis should either follow the law, in quotes, and issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples or, quote, find another job, since, of course, the Obergefell opinion that there is a supposed constitutional right to so-called same-sex marriage is now the, quote, law of the land, at least according to the Bush appointee federal judge who threw Kim Davis in jail for not agreeing to violate her oath and also according to all the judicial supremacists, so on. Okay, he's just a little bit feisty in his comments there. He said Jefferson, Hamilton, and Lincoln, however, would beg to differ by their own words with a toxic liberal lie that the Supreme Court opinions immediately and without exception invalidate constitutionally enacted laws and statutes. Thomas Jefferson, to consider the judges as the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions is a very dangerous doctrine indeed, and one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy. The Constitution has erected no such single tribunal, knowing that to whatever hands confide it, with the corruptions of time and party, its members would become despots. So Hamilton said this, the judiciary, from the nature of its functions, will always be the least dangerous to the political rights of the Constitution. The judiciary has no influence over either the sword or purse, no direction either of the strength or of the wealth of society, and can take no active resolution whatsoever. It may truly be said to have another force or will. This is what Lincoln said on the battlefield of Gettysburg. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. It is for us, the living, to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us. We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And earlier about the Supreme Court, he had said, if the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of the Supreme Court, the instant they're made in ordinary litigation between parties and personal actions, the people have ceased to be their own rulers, having to that extent practically resigned their government into the hands of that eminent tribunal. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm delighted to be with you to have this opportunity to share Labor Day live together right here on the Line of Fire. We go to Dunn, North Carolina. Mary, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
I just had
a few comments to make about Kim Davis.
Yeah.
For a fairly new Christian, she is a very bold and courageous person, and she puts many of us Christians to shame. And I'm so thankful to hear that you fully support what she's doing. And you know about the question that you asked, is it ever right to break the law? Well, my understanding, and you probably were going to get to this, is that we, as Christians, we should always obey the laws unless they contradict God's laws. And yeah, I know there are many examples in the Old Testament and many in the New Testament.
Old and new, Mary, absolutely. We talked about that some in the first hour, but let me take advantage of your call to do that again. We are submitted people. We are obedient people. We are not lawless people. We are not self-willed people. We are not troublemakers. We are peacemakers. That's who we're called to be. When we are called to disobey God, we have to say, no, we must obey God. It's always a matter of obedience. So if the law requires me to compromise my convictions, deny Scripture, disobey God, with all respect to the law, I say, sorry, I have to obey God. You say, look, you know, you just want to have your own way. No, redefining marriage in an unconstitutional, lawless way, what the Supreme Court did is an outrage that will ultimately live on in infamy. So for Kim Davis to say, I am upholding constitutional law and I'm upholding the law of Kentucky and the vote of the people, and I cannot violate my conscience, she's doing that in obedience, not in rebellion. And what I've been saying and others are saying, we're standing with Kim Davis, but we also are Kim Davis. In other words, we have to all stand for what it's right. Whatever our place is in society, whoever we are, we have to do what's right in God's sight, even if it means violating laws of the land. Thank you for calling, Mary. And yes, for a fairly new believer, what, just about 4 years old in the Lord, with not the best past before that, like so many of us before the Lord saved us, yeah, standing loud and clear. She has to stay in jail, she will, but this is rightly being challenged on many fronts. Thank you, Mary, for the call. Let's go to Mount Holly, also North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire, Linda.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I know you're running out of time, so I'll try and make this fast, but I am a baloney amputee. I was hit by a drunk driver many, many years ago, but the doctors were able to, quote-unquote, save my leg, although it was permanently damaged, caused me a lot of pain, and for 12 years, I dragged it around in pain, but they told me I had to ask for the amputation. They wouldn't take it off, and I lived with that for 12 years, and I went online because I didn't know anything about being an amputee or what it was going to involve, and when I started, you know, looking to see what it was about, I stumbled into
all this craziness about wannabes and people who were interested. They wanted me to be an amputee, and they wanted me to be a double amputee. There is a sexual component to it. I don't care if psychologists want to change the name. There is, because these people are out there. They are, I mean, I don't know any other word to say but crazy. And it was scary to me, but I did finally, you know, I had to, get the amputation done and it was an eye-opening experience. I was like, I didn't even want to know that these people were out there, but they are, and people should be aware of that. And as soon as they started talking about the transgender stuff, it automatically reminded me of the amputation people, because there is a definite correlation there. And I think the only reason why the transgenders are being celebrated is for the political aspect. It has nothing to do with their psychological well-being or celebrating differences or whatever they want to say. It's a political agenda.
Yeah, and Linda, let me just jump in, then I've got a question for you. And sorry for the hardship in your own life. Obviously, you sound like an overcomer who's moving forward.
Thanks to God and Jesus. I mean, I'm only here because of them.
Yeah,
literally.
Absolutely. Many of us would say those exact same words. But in short, yeah, the transgender thing, that's the T, LGBT. It's part of a larger political agenda. It's part of the so-called sexual minorities, even though with many of them it's got nothing to do with sexuality so much. You know, that's not the issue. And yes, they would say, I'm so happy. Many would say, I'm so happy I had the surgery, or it's the best thing I've done, you know, just like the people with body identity integrity disorder. But Linda, as you were interacting from that unique position of looking into amputation, and we've got to be really quick here. Aside from the sexual things, what was it that caused you to say there's a clear mental issue here? In other words, it's not just an amputation issue. There's something bigger going on.
When somebody, you know, I mean, they have forums on like Yahoo and stuff like that, and they talk about how they go through all of these elaborate fantasies in their mind about, I mean, from starting out with having toes amputated, and then moving up to, you know, leg, below knee, above knee, and then arm. I mean, it just, it goes on and on and on. And it's not healthy. It is not healthy. And for us to celebrate it as though it is healthy, as though it's just another way of being, expressing yourself or whatever they want to say, it's not. It's not healthy. And we shouldn't be exposing our little children to this kind of thing in classrooms or on TV or any place.
Right, and when you say this, when you say this, obviously we're not celebrating amputations and self-amputations unless it's what's amputating something having to do with transgender.
Yeah.
And that you're, or look, a woman having her breast just cut off. You know, that, so it is distressing. It is distressing to celebrate Caitlyn Jenner instead of praying for this poor guy who obviously has deeper issues going on. Linda, what an ideal person to call in. How many could speak from your background and are willing to take the time to make this call? Thank you for doing it and speaking truth to our radio audience. Let's be praying for those who struggle with these things rather than celebrating them. And may God's grace continue to be yours. All right, friends, I mentioned this in the first hour. I wasn't joking. When I saw our special offer this week, I thought it was a typo, because I have no idea how we're offering my book, Hyper Grace, which is going like hotcakes around the world. In many languages, people want the book out and finding what true grace is, along with a CD on God's true grace. And then we're paying the postage. I don't know how we're doing it all for $14, but we are this week. So take advantage of it. Give us a call. Well, actually, go to the website. It's Labor Day today. Go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Go there, take advantage of this, get as many copies as you want, only this week. My bottom line today, there are many things in our society today that we are celebrating. Instead, we should be mourning, not celebrating.